All right, so first two questions, and here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to ask one question and be silent for a little bit so folks can make notes about the answer to that question. Then I'll ask a second and give you a little more time. And then we'll start into hearing from folks, and of course, then it can be about either or both of the questions. So we actually got some input from Sherry on this. Because the new book's out, we've got a very active email class, and recordings are kind of where it's at right now in practice. The first question is, how are you using your recording practice to inform your spiritual practice? So how are you using your recording practice to inform your practice? Just take a minute or so, see what shows up about that. And then here comes the second question, somewhat related. How are you using your recording practice to inform your facilitation practice? So now specifically about facilitation practice. How are you using your recording practice to inform your facilitation practice? Take a minute or so and see what responses come to that question. So, is there a volunteer out there to be our first facilitator?
This is Ann. I'll do it.
Ann?
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
All right, Ann. Sure can.
Okay.
And who would like to start us off hearing your responses with Ann facilitating?
Is it Bob?
Sorry.
Hey, Bob.
Sorry, Sue.
Oh, Bob.
Bob?
Got it.
What I've been seeing is that the recordings have been sort of, it almost seems magical. It seems like there's sort of like an antidote to whatever conversation is going on in my head and keeping me stuck in conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a magical antidote.
Yeah, and one of the things I've seen is that it almost has like a lasting effect. So like, I'll often wake up in the middle of the night and there'll be like some, you know, conversation going on about something, and then I'll just put on the recording, and the thing that the conditioning was having me sort of tied up in knots around will suddenly become really clear, and then I can feel like I can sort of like move forward. And then if it's a particular piece of like content or something that I'm, you know, like it's trying to keep me from doing, and now I feel like I'm sort of free to do it, that when I'm doing it, it's much easier to see when conditioning comes up during that piece of content as it's going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's a lasting antidote in that if you're caught in a conversation in the middle of the night, you can listen to your recording and that helps you see it. But also, if you're going along later on in that conversation, you're able to much more clearly see it and step back and see it for what it is.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
This is Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hi. Well, I two things came up. One is around the recording. It's similar to what Bob said. Of course, it's just for me. It's like the it's brought the practice everywhere to life. You know, I practice every all the time everywhere because not only has it does it as Bob was saying work when I'm actually doing it. You know, when I'm recording and listening and recording and listening to completely disidentify. But it's kind of a remains in my head all the time in the sense that what's on the recording will come up before, sometimes before conditioning or sometimes, you know, after conditionings arose, then the mentor's right there just as if the recording were in my, or on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so it's practice, everywhere the practice is alive because as you listen to the recording, then it's in your head. So when conditioning comes up, or even sometimes before conditioning comes up, that mentor is there with you in your head.
Yeah, and what I found is it's a direct line to, you know, say even after, okay, so something arises, conditioning comes up, I might speak it into the recorder, I listen back, you know, I get calm, it calms me down, and right then and there, I see right through the duality. You know, it's like, it's to me, it's like a direct line from seeing from one side of the duality to the center.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're able to see right through the duality when you record what the self-talk is, and have reassurances for that.
Yeah, and after I've have the mentor help, you know, and reassure and get centered, then it's like poof, there's the. Particularly if there's a duality going on or anything. And then as far as the content, I mean, the second question about the facilitation practice, I mean, every time, it's one thing if I'm just listening to all the things that are on there, and there are many, many things, but when I'm actually doing the, you know, the talking into it, what's going on, and then listening back, it's basically self-facilitation, and it's kind of a reflective listening. It's kind of a drawing out, and I mean, it's the whole thing. And so that's kind of how it, for me, was, I guess the word was informs, I don't know, but, you know, is a part of my facilitation practice.
Mm-hmm. So the way the recording practice informs your facilitation practices, it's actually a self-facilitation where you're able to clarify, reflective listen, and draw out.
Yeah, that's one way it seems to do that. And again, I think during facilitating others, then, I mean, it's just more practice of facilitation all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. More practice of facilitation all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Maureen. This is Penny.
Penny, is that yeah, Penny?
Yep. One of the things I found with the recording is it feels like I'm more aware of being aware more of the time.
More aware of being aware more of the time.
Yeah, because you know you know, it's one thing to kind of go along and you have sort of awarenesses or moments of awareness or insights, and then they kind of pass, and I can get right back into unconsciousness. But because I'm recording things, conditioning can't kind of throw that cloud of I never saw that over things that I now have seen, you know?
It can't throw the cloud of I never saw that over things you have seen. There's less moments of unconsciousness, it sounds like.
Yeah, and the other another thing in terms of practice is I find that even unsolicited, the mentor just arrives, just comes in more often. Mm-hmm. And I think what it's done is just create an openness. I mean, I'm sure the mentor's always there, but it feels like it's created an openness to being alert to that and being receptive to it.
The listening to the recording has created an openness to the mentor and being receptive to that.
Yeah, and I actually have not been specifically using the recording practice in relation to facilitation, and now I will.
You've been inspired.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Ian, thanks for starting us off on that. We need another person to volunteer for facilitating.
David, I'll volunteer.
John.
Okay, I heard David first, so David, you're on.
Okay.
This is Marie.
Yeah, hi, Marie.
Hi. Well, you know, it feels like the mentoring process, even the recording, makes guidance available, a lot more available all the time. And it, you know, it represents practice when I'm steering away or putting off center. It gives me a way to tap into some guidance about practice.
Mm. So using the recording for you gives you a way to, when you're off center, to tap back into practice and receive the guidance.
Yeah, and it's also helps with focus of attention, I think, a lot because, you know, I can be drifting off into a conversation and then remember that, you know, I can focus my attention on guidance for the situation I'm in rather than being in a conversation about it.
Yeah, so it also allows you to focus your attention on the guidance as opposed to being in a conversation.
Yeah. And with the other question, it's been a real interesting interplay with the, doing the mentoring recordings and then doing facilitation recordings and self-facilitation recordings. It's just been a real rich interplay, I think. And, I've used it to really mentor the facilitator who was going to facilitate something that felt challenging, and it was really powerful to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you actually used the recordings to facilitate the facilitator who was going to be in, do some facilitating, what it sounds like, in a challenging situation.
Yeah. And the other thing I noticed, just I've been trying to do more self-facilitation and kind of exploring with that, and that gets to be a really rich experience with, with the facilitator being so tapped into the mentor. You know, when I'm doing self-facilitation, it just feels like some really powerful things are happening in self-facilitation.
Mm. So with the facilitator being tapped into the mentor, it feels like some really powerful things are happening with the self-facilitation. And I think you also said, Marie, that it feels like a very rich experience.
Yeah. Thanks, David. That's it for me.
Thank you, Marie.
This is Karen.
Yeah, hi, Karen.
Hey. This one really fun aspect of recording it, how it is informing my spiritual practice is when I first started making the recordings, the listening at the same time was talking about how bad it was sounding and being very critical and this was happening simultaneously while I was recording. And then when I went back and listened to the recording, I was pleasantly delighted to listen to myself. And none of what conditions were saying was finished. It was so beautiful to hear everything. You know, once again, I got to prove to myself that I'm more than adequate to my life, and conditioning always lies.
Yeah, so I think I caught most of that. It was basically that when you were making the recording, conditioning was kind of coming in and having its say about it. But then to your great, great surprise or great, the nice thing about it was that when you went back and listened to the recording, it was actually really beautiful and really nice to see that, as always, conditioning has nothing nice to say, and it basically lies.
Yes, exactly. And then for the second part of the question, I hadn't really considered using the recorder in the facilitation practice, and so it's a good question, like Penny suggested, that I would be inspired to do so.
So you hadn't kind of thought of using it to inform your facilitation practice, but much as mentioned by another facilitator, that you'll look to see how you can do that now.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rebecca.
Hi, this is
yeah,
Bill.
Hi, I think I heard Rebecca.
Okay, thanks. Well, the way it's informing my practice is, and I guess as a facilitator, is it's helping me keep an eye on the mentor more. It's amazing that it's really what it's training me to do is to turn to the mentor instead of the conditioning for my responses.
So it's helping you keep an eye on the mentor, and it's really training you to turn to the mentor as opposed to conditioning for your responses.
Yeah, and I think it's a slow, I mean, it's a long-term, lifelong training. It's not like I've noticed any great turnaround, immediately. I'm just seeing that pattern being reinforced. And it's fun. I'm really enjoying watching who is listening to the recording. So it's like I'm the recording's going on, I'm listening, and then I'm watching who's listening. Because I can judge by my reaction. I can not judge, but I can tell who's here listening by my reaction.
So enjoying kind of finding out who's listening by kind of watching or being informed by your reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like sometimes there's a part who's like, oh, skip this one. I don't want to hear this one. Skip it. Yeah, fast forward it. Sometimes there's a part who just laughs at, the same one every time. It just, every time I hear it makes me laugh. And anyway, it's just all fine, doesn't matter necessarily who's here listening. It's just very, very interesting to watch it.
Yeah, so no matter kind of who shows up to listen, whether it's the one who, I don't want to listen to this, or kind of makes you laugh, or the one who laughs, that it's all fine, that it's just a great experience.
Yeah, and just one last little thing is I was really grateful when I woke up, like someone else said, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning just all tied up with a worry, a conditioned story, and happened to check my phone for a tweet. The tweet was exactly what I needed to hear. I got my recorder and recorded the tweet onto my recorder and listened to it. I mean, it was just like, couldn't have been a more perfectly orchestrated support for practice.
That's great. That's great. So a lot of gratitude for what sounds like a perfectly orchestrated practice opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, this is Cameron.
Cameron, hold on one minute. So, David, I think that was 3. Is that correct?
That is correct.
3 folks? Okay, thanks. So before we move on, Chris, I want to check in with you. With the time, do you think we ought to shift to the next set of questions, or not quite yet?
Seems to me like we could go for one more set with what we're doing.
All right, super. So, Cameron, were you volunteering there to facilitate, or did you want to respond to the question?
Well, I wasn't aware we were time to switch, so I was volunteering to respond to the questions, but
all right,
I could.
Well, it's up to you. I can ask for another facilitator, or if you want to switch into that role, what would you prefer?
I'll respond to the question, and then maybe jump in to volunteer for facilitating next or later.
All right. So you're first up as a responder for whoever is going to be our next facilitator. Who will that be?
This is John.
Tom.
John. Okay, John.
All right, Cameron.
Thank you, John. I think the thing that I wanted to say most is that if there was ever a doubt that there's a source of wisdom from within this recording and listening practice has just made it so clear that that there is that source of wisdom to turn to within, and it, so it has. It's really creating, establishing a place to look from, to be, and to look from that is more. More of a confident place of standing right here within myself to be.
So you're saying that if there's ever a doubt of having a source of wisdom for this, the recording practice has really made that clear, and it's helping you just stand confidently with where you are and go back to that source.
Yeah. And I've also noticed. I've been doing it very a lot because it feels so good to be connected to that stream of positive positive information and all. And so I had a period of time the past weekend where I had a lot of people around and a lot of I had less time to focus on it. And I could see a change in my experience just because I wasn't with it as often. And so, I know it doesn't have to be the tape recorder now. I'm establishing this as my focus from within, too. But it was just really clear the power of this work. And I just got back on board really focusing on it. And there was that shift back into the experience that I want to live in. So it's just really powerful work.
So what you saw when you were doing this a lot was the sense of being in touch with this source and the stream of positive information. And then recently when you were not quite doing the practice as much, you could tell a difference in your experience. And so you're just resolved to go back and continue to do the practice with or without the recordings and get to that source of information.
Yeah, and I can see clearly that having that source of wisdom and having that confidence of the being centered is obviously a very important part of facilitation too. So I can see question number two is really involved in the same answer as number one. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So you're seeing that this source of wisdom and this source of confidence really is important for not only your own practice, but facilitation as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Hi. I've really been enjoying this whole conversation because everybody has touched in on something that I've been feeling, and I may not have had the words to it. And so I feel like in this conversation, I just got the words to what has been going on. That's the first thing I want to say.
So, you've been enjoying this conversation. You've been enjoying this because although you have the same feelings and experiences as other people, now you're hearing the words that go with that.
Yeah, because one of the things is who's listening to the recording has been really incredible because there's sometimes that whoever's listening to the recording, it just wants to dive right in. I mean, it just feels like they're being completely cuddled and held, and it's just like the most amazing place. And then sometimes who's listening to the recording is someone who is like in a rush, busy, doesn't want to be bothered, you know. And so to see those two different places, you know, and anywhere in between happening.
So it's really, it's been interesting to see who's there listening to the recording. It's one extreme or one sense that maybe somebody's just diving right in to be cuddled, and that's another sense that you just are too busy and don't want to do it. So it's just interesting to watch this and everything in between.
Yeah, and to see if I'm identified or not, that's a great clue right there. You know, if I'm identified when I'm listening. Sometimes I will turn it off and then turn it back on again, or, you know, I'll try different tricks because I can notice that I can listen and be really distracted, just like you can do a sit and be really distracted. So it's like just noticing that and then coming back. It's been a great training, just like meditation.
Yeah, so it's been a great training, just like meditation, and seeing who's there and if you're identified or not. And sometimes you turn the recording off and see who's identified and come back and, again, just have that same experience as in meditation.
Yeah, and just like someone else said, the wisdom inside is just amazing. And, you know, just to, it's so easy to go into that mentor role. And then what's so wonderful is then to listen to it later, and it's like reflective listening. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, that's right. You know, that it's right there on the tape. And then I get to hear it and remember it. And, yeah, the whole thing is just great.
Yeah, so the whole thing is just great. It's going from just being the mentor and then going back into reflective listening and then hearing it again and just getting that sense of the wisdom that you're hearing.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Janet.
This is Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello. I made a recording that, since I was so new to facilitation, I made a recording specifically for that when I'm getting ready to facilitate.
So you made a recording since you're new to use specifically for going into facilitation.
Correct. And it's actually it's recorded on my phone. So I'll listen to it before, like, reflective listening buddies. And then it'll automatically pause when the call starts. And then as soon as the call is over, it'll automatically start playing again.
Oh, this is on your cell phone.
Correct. It's recorded on my cell phone. Yeah.
So it's on your cell phone, and you're playing it before your reflective listening buddy's call, and then when the call kicks in, you take the call, and then it kicks in after the call and just continues with the recording.
Yes. And what I noticed is that's become sort of a metaphor for life right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I know if I'm at work and I'm in a really difficult situation, I found myself thinking, I know this is going to go on my recording at some point. So it's like a context for when stuff happens, you know?
So it's a context or a metaphor for life. If there's something difficult at work, for instance, you know you're going to get this on your recording.
Yeah, and it's like it's a different experience than having real life be separate from practice. Like, this is all going to get on the recording at some point, you know?
So what I'm hearing is it's taking practice in real life and putting it together because it's going to go on the recording.
Yes, they're, because of the recordings, it's starting to feel like they're the same thing. Life and practice are the same.
Because of the recordings, it's starting to feel like the same thing. Life and practice are the same thing.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Andrea here.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Andrea, I'm going to shift us to another couple of questions.
Okay.
Was that a volunteer to be the first facilitator, though, Andrea? Or?
Well, I was going to share, but I could facilitate. Doesn't matter.
Okay. Then let me get to the questions here, and we can go from there. So the first question is, how are you using your recording practice to inform, oh, I'm sorry, I think we did that one, didn't we? What kinds of questions do you find yourself asking the mentor? So again, what kinds of questions do you find yourself asking the mentor? Second question is, what kinds of things is the mentor offering? What kinds of things is the mentor offering? We did before, we'll have a volunteer facilitator, and then that person will facilitate three folks, and then we'll move on to another volunteer facilitator. And Andre, I didn't mean to volunteer you as a facilitator, so if you would like that at this point, you're certainly welcome to, but there's no requirement for
that. Well, sure, I'll go for it.
Okay, great. That's terrific. And then a person to share.
This is Michael.
Okay, great.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Andrea. So the question is, what kinds of questions do you find yourself asking the mentor? And what occurred to me as I heard that is it's like a training. What I wrote down is it's like an attitude practice. So when I notice something coming up, you know, it feels like conditioning or something wrong, it's training myself to recognize that and then kind of like turning to the mentor, who's a, you know, older, wiser figure.
Yeah, so in regards to the question, what you're noticing is that you've been finding that when you're in a conditioned state, you're turning to the mentor and asking the mentor to mentor you.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, and it's not even an explicit kind of question with words. It's that kind of turning within, turning to the place where I know I'm going to be more centered or come from a clearer place.
Yeah, so it's not an explicit questioning. It's more like a turning within and kind of a centering.
Yeah, and as you say that, it feels like I'm, it's like I've woken up enough to turn this over to life now.
Noticing that you've woken it up enough to turn this over to life now.
Yeah, and so from that place, it's more relaxed, it's more clear, it's less charged, it's less stressed. And mentor, you know, offers that.
So more clear, more relaxed, less charged, less stressed, and noticing that the mentor offers that to you.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, this is Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. I really like this question because the answer for it came up with the first set of questions, and I was looking at how to bring it into it, but this is more specific. How I've been using the recordings is I have a little project I'm working on with a mentor, and I realized that a lot of my early recordings started off with me mentioning about how when I was young there was no one there to talk to me about certain things.
What you're seeing is that when you started doing the recordings, you noticed that it kind of turned to when you were younger, there was no one there to talk to about certain things.
That's exactly. And I kept hearing that, oh, yeah, I realized that there was no one there to talk to you about these things. And it occurred to me at one point, I'm not sure if it was a like a straightforward conscious thing, but I think there was a kind of a space that was opening up for the person who kept hearing that there was a space for you to talk about certain things to actually start talking about those things to the mentor. And it's funny, I've got a little project going where I'm talking about the things that really don't often even come up in general conversation. And it's really fascinating the kinds of, let's go to the second part, what kinds of things mentor is offering. It's funny that the mentor is never trying to change my experience, not trying to solve a problem, not even coming from a place of judgment, but almost like a practice buddy that is he's like, so what was that like? Basically, it is asking me what my experience was of it. And what's fun is that I'm starting to see all sorts of different things about it that I'd not seen before in the present.
And so what you're noticing is that you've been talking about things that have never really come up before, and seeing that the mentor is kind of just there in practice, basically just kind of like a buddy, and kind of just listening to everything that you're having to say.
Yeah, very much so. No judgment. That's the biggest part that I think is really fun, is that there's a whole lot of space created in it for me to explore it and see what the similarities are between this and some other content that's come up too. And I look at it so much deeper than just on the surface, because on the surface it looks like one thing, and then all of a sudden it just feels like, wow, it's related to everything. And it's deep that way.
Yes, and noticing that there's no judgment, that the mentor is just listening to what you have to say, and just seeing that it's, I forgot what the last thing was you said.
Me too. No, just that I think it's something about how neat it is that I'm able to see things in more clarity, and how everything is related.
So you're seeing how neat it is that you can see everything in more clarity and how everything is related.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Sequoia.
Hi, Sequoia.
Hi. I really like these questions, too. What kind of questions come up? It's like there are young parts who, previous to this practice, were just kind of floundering and at the mercy of conditioning. And now with this practice, it's as if someone is taking their hand and going to the mentor. And it's so wonderful. And I noticed myself on recording asking one question that some part of me just delights in it every time she hears. And it's like someone taking this part by the hand and going, mentor, can you save this girl? and it's just that feeling of like, wow, we're here and we've come to someone that's safe, and it's wonderful.
So really having this wonderful feeling of this mentor who's saying, you know, can we mentor this girl?
Yeah, can we help her out here? And you know, what I notice is when we go and have a chat with a mentor, you know, what's there is just, you know, love and acceptance. And also I've noticed sometimes just there's humor. And the part that has turned to the mentor is like feeling very serious about this problem, you know. And suddenly there is this person that's like, you know, has a giggle in the midst of what seemed just a second ago seemed so incredibly serious.
So you're seeing that this person comes in with this very serious problem, and that there's actually humor, that the mentor can actually have humor and see that it's maybe not so serious as you were originally thinking.
Yeah, and it's not a laughing at, or I don't know, I can't explain it. It's just a delightful, like, oh my gosh, there's another possibility here besides, you know, the sky is falling. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So what you're seeing is it's not a laughing at, it's just seeing more that it's another possibility besides the sky is falling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. And I was just looking at the time here. We're not too far from ending the call, so I was wondering if folks could be sharing and be and with that, how about another volunteer facilitator?
This is Lynette. I'll facilitate.
Great, thank you, Lynette.
folks to share?
This is Tracy.
Tracy.
Yes. Hi, Lynette. What I'm noticing is I have a lot of questions for my mentor, just wondering, like, why I'm where I am. And just, like, I sometimes think, how did I kind of get to this place in life when I really thought my life would be really different?
Uh-huh. So just a lot of questions around how and why you are like you are, and looking at a place that you thought your life would be different by this point?
Yeah, and I feel like I listen to my recorder, and the big theme, and the whole big theme just seems to be just trusting the process. And it feels like just hearing that, I mean, it seems to be what the mentor has to say about most everything. It's just to show up and accept and let go and trust the process. And it's definitely helped carry me in just life outside of the recorder.
Mm-hmm. So there's this big theme kind of going on about distrusting the process. And the mentor has just said kind of let go and distrust, and that's made a difference now for me.
Yeah, a difference in that there's it makes going out there feel a little lighter instead of being caught in the story of, oh my gosh, kind of how did I get here, and I'm getting caught in the conditioning, something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now suddenly there's a lightness about the whole story, and maybe less getting caught in the conditioning about what's wrong.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Someone else?
Hi, this is Jill.
Wasn't quite sure. Jill?
Yes.
Okay. I'm ready.
Me too. So I guess what came up for me for that question is just the amount of unconditional love that I feel for my mentor. And, you know, it's really facilitated through the recording.
Yeah. So when you answered that, what came up is just unconditional love and how in that recording, it's there for you.
Yeah, and what, was true for me is, and this was talked about a little bit with the first question, is that, you know, whoever shows up that to listen to the recording, you know, that person gets this love, this unconditional love, and it's just an amazing experience because, it's, you know, oftentimes I don't reach for it because I'm feeling bad or whatever. I reach for it because I'm walking to the subway and I have some time. And so it's just been a really interesting and beautiful experience to have, yeah, whoever is there to get this love.
Yeah, so noticing that at different times, whoever's there to listen gets that love, and noticing how when that happens, it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and it's available at any time.
Mm-hmm. Available. Always there for you.
Always there. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Would someone else like to share?
That's the signal that we are about at the end, huh?
Okay.
Thank you, Lynette. And thank you all. Jan, are we pretty much done?
I think so, Chris. Do we want to speak to next call at this point?
Yeah, let's do. So we do have another call scheduled, and that is for Friday, December 17th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And we'll be getting an email notice out to everybody, too, sometime soon.
Chris?
Yeah.
This is Jeffrey. Is it all right if I ask if anyone joined the call after roll call was taken?
Oh, sure.
Does that apply to anybody?
Looks like we're good.
Thanks.
Okay, very good. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call. And
thank you,
we'll look
Chris
forward
and Jan.
To talking to you all next time.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, bye-bye. Everyone. Bye-bye.